Welcome to the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with your hosts, Zigzag and Rufus, coming to you live from planet Earth, courtesy of Smokin' Hits Records and Global Corp Industries. Now, grab a beer, put your feet up, and get ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour!
Hello, hello!
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Beautiful. Awesome.
The
BTR studio is spinning its wheels whenever I took me off mute. So I was afraid that you couldn't hear me, but I'm glad you can.
No, I can hear you. You're a little muddled, but I think that's just the way it's going to be tonight. How goes it, Rufus?
Do what?
I said, how goes it?
It goes. How does it go for you?
You don't seem very excited for a guy who just got a new house.
I got two halves of a new house. It's not a new house yet.
I'm actually interested. Now, what do you do, like, for hooking up the sewer and stuff? Will they have to move your old house to hook into your sewer, or what do you do?
No. We positioned it in such a way that we just got to run the pipe directly to the septic tank. So we can reach all that. We just got to do it.
Right on. So when will this thing be set up and ready for occupancy?
The guy setting it up will be done by Thursday or Friday, and then it's up to us to get the utilities hooked up to it. So I'm going to call Brother Reverend David to see if he can help us, you know, lay the pipe for the sewer and the water. And
that's what she said.
Yes, she did. But that should take a day. So, I mean, hopefully by the weekend we'll be moving our stuff in.
So I saw quite a few cinder blocks in the picture. Are you, like, building a crawl space underneath it, or how does that work?
Well, there is a crawl space underneath it just by the nature of it being off the ground. So the cinder blocks,
right,
cinder blocks and shims and jacks and all kinds of shit to make it level. And we had to blow $3,000 just building a level pad for it. This guy brought out, like, 14 dump truck loads of dirt and a bulldozer and made this huge fucking pad and, like, trenches for the water to go around and stuff. And so they're setting it on that. And it's pretty interesting watching it happen. I can't believe, dude, they backed this thing up our road. They didn't just, like, pull it in and turn around. They backed this. I could barely back up a fucking U-Haul, and these guys are backing up, like, half a house up our dirt road. And it's the precision is just amazing.
So the Pilgrim is personally made for you. A month ago, you put in an order for this particular house with everything you wanted in it, including your ceiling vents, and they build the whole thing in a month.
It's not like a custom deal. I mean, that's like a model home that they have, but you can get various
right
upgrades. And that was one of the upgrades that the people pitched to us. And in fact, they were getting one in, and they said the one we're getting in has the vents in the ceiling. I was like, well, I like that better because, you know, you don't want shit dropping in that stuff. And
well,
so
it totally makes
that
sense if you think about it. I mean,
yeah,
any kind of cold air is going to drop to the floor. I mean, if you've got, say, your air conditioner going and the vent is blowing out of the floor, obviously the cold air is going to stay nearest to the floor instead of
right
showering you with cold air.
Exactly. And, you know, I just don't want things dropping down to the ducts that are going to clog the system and stuff. Yeah, we got the overhead stuff.
Well, you know, that's funny because, like I was telling you, I do pamphlets for those kinds of houses as well.
I had no idea. That's crazy.
They're Clayton homes, though. They're called Clayton homes. And they got a really cool one, dude. I wish you'd let me know this. I would have turned you on to what they call the I-House, which is...
This is a Clayton house.
An intelligent house. And they're pretty fucking cool, really. I mean, maybe a little too, I'm not sure the word, untraditional. But, I mean, you kind of
mm-hmm
got your own thing going there. I'm excited for you, dude. I'm excited to hear how this thing comes together.
Thanks.
I'm not
this
as excited as you, probably.
From, they're actually a Clayton Home dealer. And so they do Clayton Home.
Oh, was it?
And, like, and one other place. And, like, when you, if you scroll down to the bottom of that website, you'll see the Clayton Home logo. But then all these other logos, you know, I guess for people
right
that are distributors or
Skyline
whatever.
Skyline. Skyline's another one that's around here. You know what's crazy about those plants? You know they crank out those houses. You know how many? One of these plants will build 19 of those fucking houses a day, if you can believe
that.
That's insane. I mean, really, if you think about it, it's insane. But, you know, people are always skeptical of those places. But the deal is they're well built because they're built inside. So there's no, like, inclement weather to mess up shit or fucking get rained on while they're building it. You know what I mean? Really makes sense in a weird way.
Yeah, well, I was surprised when we went to check out the homes. They actually didn't have this model there when we went to check out their inventory. But, yeah, it's really impressive. Like, the entire thing is, like, fully sheetrocked and floated. It's just a house, you know? And they just slap it together. It's not like your old school fucking, like, mobile home.
Right. Single wide. That's technically called a modular, Rufus, I do believe.
You are correct.
Yes. I know about all things modular. Except for the price. What's something like that set you back? About $130,000 set up?
Oh, no.
Or
no.
More.
With all the upgrades and stuff, it was $71,000, I think.
Yeah, but that doesn't include the pad and the delivery and all that shit, does it?
Yeah, includes absolutely
everything.
In fact, originally it was like $69,000, and we were going to have to foot the bill for the pad, and we went back to him and said, look, we don't want to pay this out of pocket. Can you work it in the mortgage? And they said, yeah. And so we rented the mortgage.
Nice.
So it's all less than $100,000, brand new house, I bet.
I'm shocked. Really, I am. How many square feet is the Pilgrim?
It's smaller than the house we're in now. It's like $1,495, I think. But it's laid out so much fucking better, and it's just way better built. This house we're in now is actually the house we're in now is a single wide from the 80s that has had
with some build on
three rooms. Yeah, it's had like rooms added onto it, and it's just awkward and weird, and it's buckling in certain places. And we reached a point where we're like, okay, if we want to get this place up to snuff for our standards, it's going to cost a shitload of fucking money. Let's just get a new place. And, you know, we'll be better off, have guarantees and warranties and all that bullshit.
So new cars, new houses, what the fuck, dude? You're like rolling in it there in Rufusville. Are you like the mayor of Walden?
I could be. I could buy and sell this fucking town, man.
You should run. I'm buying that building up there in Three Rivers, right, for 420 Products headquarters. And I was talking to another guy, a friend of mine who's a realtor, who kind of turned me on to this spot up there. He owns a couple of fourplexes right around the way. He's like, dude, we should run for fucking city council. We could own this little town. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? That's what people do, though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They kind of horn their way in and, like, take over the whole fucking town, like Boss Hog style.
So it's
maybe that's
carpet bagging, right? You're a carpet bagger. You come in with your money and you buy the election?
Yeah, there you go. Sounds like something I need to do.
You should. It's another thing to add to your resume. I made pamphlets. Oh, yeah, and I was in town, by the way.
And I bought a small town as a hobby. Like an ant farm. Then I'll bankrupt it. First order of business is to shut down the Walmart.
So they're shutting themselves down. Apparently, they closed like 300 fucking stores.
Yeah, but they were all those little mini stores. They're not even real. They're not super Walmarts. You know, they're just making room for themselves to build a bigger fucking Walmart.
Yeah, the micro. The only one I've seen shut down here is one of those little micro. They call it the neighborhood store. Yeah.
Like you said, just in time to try. They tried so hard to fucking squeeze that mom and pop out of fucking business that you were talking about last week. And then when they couldn't do it, they're like, fuck it. All right, forget it. You know, we'll just put a big, empty, fucking ugly storefront. It will bring down everybody's property value right here because nothing could ever fit in there in a small town.
Exactly. What else are you going to do with it except exactly what they tried that failed, I guess. I mean, you going to build a house with gas pumps? No.
Right. I mean, what are you going to do with 25,000 square feet? I mean, you could open an RV dealership or a car lot indoors or something, but the heating and the utilities will fucking murder you.
Oh, yeah.
That's their plan anyways, though. If you think about it, dude, I don't know how people are so worried about Bernie Sanders saying that he's a socialist or whatever. We're basically living in communism right now. I mean, they take your health insurance. I mean, most people get their health insurance taken out of their fucking paycheck, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of socialized, is it not already? I mean, if you want to go on the open market to get insurance, they make sure you can't afford it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like they forced the middle class out of business in America. I mean, and I don't want to say Walmart in general did it, but I'd say big business kind of did it because the Republicans want everybody to be just a worker, quote unquote. You know,
yeah,
so they can keep their tabs on you. You're busy paying your bills. You got no time to fucking bitch about anything.
Well, Republicans and Democrats alike, the whole political system is they want you to rely on them.
Right.
They want you to need them. I just saw a headline the other day. I didn't read the article, of course, because I don't have time for that shit. But it was basically like there was some I don't know, think tank somewhere does an annual study of like the freest nations in the country, and America dropped from number 6 to number 11.
Yeah, I saw that as well. Oh, well, you know what? The one that I saw was like lands of opportunity, and America has dropped out of the top 10.
I believe it.
And you don't even have to ask yourself why. And you know what? Here's the crazy thing, Rufus. You know I've got this drone, right? I got this drone to take pictures for pamphlets and whatnot. And this guy asked me to take some pictures of some real estate, right? A big real estate thing that he has, like a $5 million piece of property with a bunch of buildings and shit on it. And he's like, well, you know, will you take some pictures for me? I'll pay you, blah, blah, blah. So I'm getting online. I'm looking up commercial drone photography and whatever. And the FAA wants me to have a license to take these pictures, okay? But they won't give you one. You can ask for one, but they won't actually give you one. And the difference between – and if I want to fly this drone recreationally, it's fine, okay? But if I want to take a picture and tell somebody, I need a fucking license to do that. And the barrier – I mean, it's just like the barriers to entry in this country because of Republicans and big business is just getting out of hand. So even if you wanted to start your own business doing something, they fucking bankrupt you before you even get it off the ground.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think it's Republicans, though. I think there's some difference between Republicans and Democrats. Everything, all the difference
right,
people perceive is completely superficial.
Right.
You ever watched
this
show Stossel with John Stossel?
Yes, I have seen John Stossel, yes.
He did a show a couple of weeks ago on exactly that, the overregulation of fucking America and how you can't do anything without a fucking stack of paperwork and signing your fucking life away if you want to start a business or even maintain a business. You have people that have been in business like 20 years and suddenly they had to shut down for 6 months because some new bullshit was passed and they had to get their paperwork in order. And it was just like what you're saying with the drone photography. It was completely – it was so that they could make money by selling you a sticker that you could put on your shop window or something.
Right. I mean, that's – and, you know, I'm buying that piece of property up there, and I don't even possess the property, right? I don't have a title to the property, but I've already spent $600 in fucking permits.
Yeah.
Just to have them come through the property, check the zoning on the property. You know what I mean? It's just fucking – it's all red tape that, you know, they just – to – I don't know. It's fucking – it's amazing, honestly, that anything in America even gets done. Really.
It makes me, they don't want it to. You're right. It's like they don't want it to, but they want to make the money. It's things like that that make me appreciate the natural living man that much more. That guy that you introduced me to. I mean, at some point in a nonviolent way, you're going to stand up and be like, no, I have every right to make a living for myself. Fuck you and your obscure regulations. I'm going to do this. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, and they put the fucking guy in jail and try to fucking break him down by putting him in jail or fucking fining him and shit for what was he doing? Eating a fish that he caught without a license, right? I mean, that was the deal.
Got to have a license to catch a fish.
Right. Not if you're the natural living man. God bless him.
I know.
If that guy had a GoFundMe page, I would have given him $100.
It was so awesome in that video where the judge, she left the room. I mean, she was so confounded and confused, she left. And he knew the law. He's like, she left, it's over. If she leaves the room without making a judgment, it's null and void. See ya.
And you know what? That's what's great about the natural living man is that he knows the fucking law. He's not going in there like some fucking stumble bum. I mean, he's in there quoting shit from, like, the 1700s, like laws that have long been obscured, you know, but are still in effect, essentially. Yeah, he
really
blew her fucking mind. And those cops were going to try to put him in handcuffs, and he's like, I don't think so. And they were like, huh? And he's like, no, you're not putting me in handcuffs. And just fucking walked out. They're like, what? What the fuck is going on? The natural living man has spoken.
Oh, the natural living man. He's my hero of late.
He's got guts, dude. You know what? That's what's the problem with America is nobody's got any fucking guts anymore.
That's true.
You know, it's just like, oh, I'll get in trouble. I don't want to do that. I'll just get in trouble or, you know, I'll get a fine or I won't be able to eat this fish because I didn't buy it at the store and it wasn't taxed properly.
Right. And it's not that they don't even have no guts to stand up. They have no guts to think they even have a chance. You know, at least the natural living man, he's like, I'm going to learn the fucking law because I know I have a chance if I know the law. And most people are like, I'm not even going to bother researching it. Fuck it. They're going to win anyway.
And that's what the man counts on. Really, at the end of the day, they're like, yeah, people are fucking lazy. Give them their TV and they're fine.
Yeah.
I wish I had the balls of the natural living man. He probably has huge balls. He probably has to carry his fucking balls around in a wheelbarrow, the natural living man.
It's all that omega-3 fatty acids from the fish he catches.
and probably the mercury that was in the fish as well from the tainted pond that he fished it from.
He doesn't have balls of steel. He has balls of mercury.
They've crawled up inside his body and died.
Oh, my God. Christ.
He's now the natural living half man.
Oh, Jesus.
He did have some good points. And you know what? I want to tell the readers or the listeners, if they're ever online, they have to check out the natural living man and be, support his plight. I don't even... How did that ever end up? I mean, God, I watched like 5 different episodes of him being hauled into court, you know. And here's the other thing, dude. I was at my friend's house the other night. He was trying to – he had called Comcast, right? You're familiar with Comcast, the cable provider, correct?
I'm familiar with – I've never had them, but I do know that they're apparently a fucking nightmare.
Right, and they are. Luckily, I've never had any trouble with them, but I've never really changed anything. But this guy called them because he was moving, and he wanted to set up internet and phone service at his house, or internet and cable. No phone service. And then he found out he could get a better deal from his old provider, so he was calling them back to cancel his appointment to set shit up, right?
Yeah.
All he wanted to do was say, don't come, I don't need your stuff anymore. And he was on the phone for 2.5 fucking hours trying to cancel this install. And they kept telling him, now, if you hang up before this call is over, we're going to send a technician out and we're going to have to charge you for the service call. And they literally packed it. I mean, I was laughing because we had smoked a joint and he was like losing his mind, but I'm sitting there laughing. And he's like, they're just passing him from one fucking customer service person to another. Two of the people, he couldn't even understand what they were saying. He put them on speakerphone, and they're like talking super fast, and neither of us could even tell what the fuck they were saying. And he's just like, uh-huh, yeah. And he's like, I don't even know what I'm agreeing to. You know, and finally he says, I can't understand you. Can you put me to someone else So, of course, he waits another 20 minutes for someone to come on the line. Right. And you know what? I left before anything ever happened, so I don't know what he made out. I mean, for all I know, they might have came to fucking set the shit up. I mean, 2.5 hours I was there, and he's trying to tell them, no, do not come.
That is ridiculous.
But it's like, once you get into that system, you're fucked.
This company's got to make a buck somehow.
Right. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how they try to railroad people. We all know big business sucks. I mean, I think Walmart, when it got started, probably had the nation's best interest at heart. You know, give people an affordable product, blah, blah, blah. But then they get so big, they're like, let's just get everything from China and put America out of business. As long as we get our $4 billion a year.
I think most businesses start out with, you know, they just want to help people out and make a dollar, but then you get shareholders involved. And everybody's a millionaire, and they want to be more of a millionaire. And then suddenly it's like, who gives a fuck what happens to anybody but me as long as I get my cut?
Right. Well, and that was the bullshit with Walmart, too, is that they were bragging or saying that their shareholders wouldn't let them raise their wages, right, their minimum wage. And then, like, an hour later are bragging that their employees are their biggest shareholders. So how do you say that your biggest shareholders are employees, but your employees don't want more money? I mean, that's total bullshit.
It is bullshit. That's PR and bad PR.
It's exactly what it is. What do you think about Bernie last night? Quite a showing for the burn, huh?
Well, as usual, I didn't see any of it. I rely on you to be my window into the world of things that matter. So tell me, what happened? I know that there was some kind of stupid, ridiculous coin toss, like
future. How the fuck is that?
Game.
So that decides the fucking primary election is a fucking couple of coin tosses? Wow, only in America could that fucking be considered legit. And you know what? Gee, I don't know. Does the Democratic National Committee have their weight behind Hillary or not? Because they decided that that's how they were going to decide the fucking thing, was a coin toss.
A coin toss?
Yeah.
I thought,
hoping,
was it a real coin toss? I was hoping it was like a metaphor for some process.
No.
It was a real coin toss.
No, it was literally a coin toss for six delegate votes that were up for grabs because the polling places didn't have enough staff, right, to count all the votes. So they're like, well, it's getting late. We need to call this. Let's just flip a coin. And, of course, Hillary won all the coin tosses. Now, first of all, I would have checked that fucking coin because what are the odds that someone wins six fucking tosses in a row? Highly unlikely, I would say.
Why can't they just wait and then count the votes when there's enough people to count the votes? It doesn't have to be done that night, right? Because it's important.
CNN. Yeah, well, no, that was the deal. Bernie said, you know what, we're moving on to New Hampshire. I'm pretty sure that we're, you know, however we end up here, we're going to be pretty solid. So I don't know how it works, dude. If somebody knows this, I wish they would call in at 646-478-0616 and tell us. Now, you get so many delegates or whatever. I think it's 40 in the state of Iowa. I'm not even sure if delegate is the right fucking word, to be honest with you. But I don't know if you can split those because they're saying that Hillary had 22 and Bernie had 21. Now, I don't know if that carries over to what's going to happen in New Hampshire at the primary or if that just considers that a win for Hillary and that's it. She is 1-0 now. I don't understand how it works, to be honest with you. And I watched that shit till 3 o'clock in the morning last night and no one ever explained it.
Jesus Christ. That's how they want it to be. They don't want you to understand how it works. They just want you
to
know
exactly
that
right.
We did something, and the best person was chosen.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's just quite a feat for Bernie. And like I said, I want to start a whole movement, dude, that's where people get together, and they smoke pot, right, and they call it Burn One for Bernie, or Burning for Bernie. Right? Because, I mean, I think that it's mostly like-minded people that are voting for Bernie. And I think it'd be its own grassroots movement, literally.
Yeah, I see what you did.
Thank you. Thank you for seeing that. Nice to see you tonight, by the way, as well. You look younger.
What's that?
You look happier. What's going on there? Something in the water?
Something's wrong.
Uh-oh. Did I just say nice to see you and now you're going out on me?
I don't know. Is my audio going out? I still got a good connection.
No, I can hear you now. I can hear you now just for a split second. So do you have to buy all new furniture and shit with this house, or did it come with a bunch of furniture? Don't they usually sometimes come with furniture?
No. I mean, we got furniture. We're just going to move it over.
And how long, what's your timeline on demolishing your other house, or are you going to turn it into a studio like I had suggested?
That's a good idea, but that did cross my mind. But we are going to tear it down. And the reason we didn't tear it down first is, A, it would have been super fucking expensive. But, B, we did a lot of shit to this house that can be salvaged. And it's a really nice deck with a lot of good fucking lumber that can be used to build another deck. So now that we're going to get this new house up, we're going to take our time and tear down things slowly to salvage what we can that's useful, and then get a bulldozer in here and just knock it all the fuck down. But I've pretty much decided already that I am going to get another smaller outbuilding and wire that up, and that's going to be like my office and studio, because I do miss the days where I actually left the house to go someplace to work and do things like this.
Right. You know, have you seen those sheds that they have that are like little houses that you can buy for like $5,000 or $6,000, and you can actually get them for $300 a month? I looked into one of those not that long ago, dude, and they got some pretty nice options out there, really, that are pretty cool.
There's a place between here and Fort Smith that sells those, and it was my wife who came up with the idea. She's like, you should give them those for your office.
That'll be rad. What will you call it?
I mean, obviously.
Shangri-La?
Yeah, Shangri-La.
Will she be mad when you never return home from work, even though it's 40 feet from your front door?
Yeah, but I'll have the windows facing away from the house.
You just be like, honey, traffic's really bad tonight. I think I'm just going to crash at the office.
Exactly.
Where I've been drinking at work all day. I don't think it's safe to walk home.
We've had some snow flurries, so my 18-year-old assistant can't leave the shack. We're just going to crash here.
She's afraid to go home alone. I'm gonna just spend the night here with her to make sure that she stays warm.
That's right. And she was abused as a child, so I need to snuggle and cuddle with her.
So now when you get your new office, will you get it overlooking the pond?
Do what? Put it in the pond.
And didn't you say you have a pond on your property there?
Yeah, I do have a pond. A big pond.
I just meant, would you put your windows of your new office like overlooking the pond?
Oh yeah, it'd be tranquil. Absolutely.
It would be tranquil. You know what would be really cool? And stop me if you think I'm just saying this because I'm high. Would be to make that thing so it floated and put it in your pond, and you could just, like, float around in your office.
That's a fantastic idea.
Is it, or am I just high?
It's both.
Or is it both?
It's both.
Good enough for me.
That's evidence that being high is useful.
Exactly. It's also great for leftover pizza.
Oh, man, that sounds awesome.
If you're high. So the new car as well, obviously.
Yeah.
Things are good on the Rufus end. I'm proud of you. You must be building credit like crazy.
Yeah, I guess. Repairing is the better word.
And did you have any trouble getting any of these loans or whatnot? Did you have to put a shitload of cash down probably?
No, just the normal for the house, just the normal down payment. And the car,
which is $10,000?
No, the down payment on the house is like $3,600. Not much.
5%?
Yeah, 5%. Yeah. we offered 10%. We're like, look, if it'll help, we'll do 10%. I'm like, no, just do 5%. We said, okay.
Just keep your money. We want you to finance as much as possible because that's how we're going to make money on you. And you can't blame them.
No. That's true.
So,
what about me? Wait, what's going on in Big Zach's
I don't have
world?
Anything exciting going on. Nothing exciting
on.
Happens with me. It's like wake up, make pamphlets, go to sleep, wake up, make pamphlets, come home, eat dinner, make more pamphlets. It's just I'm like on the endless hamster wheel of pamphlet making.
Now, you don't have to divulge any client information because, you know, obviously you don't want to. But besides the one big client I'm aware of and now apparently manufactured homes, what other industries do you make pamphlets for? Like, what other...
I have no time to make pamphlets for anyone else.
And
honestly.
Are the manufactured home pamphlets related to the RV pamphlets? Are they owned by the same company?
Yes, they're owned by the same company.
God damn, that company must be rich as fuck.
Well, let's see, their sales last year were about $7 billion.
And they gave you a bonus?
No, they just bent me over and fucked me. I took a pay cut so they could say their profit margin was $8 billion.
Your bonus was they used lube this year.
Yeah, and usually they use rocks.
Ouch. Pop rocks in the anus.
It's good stuff, dude. Don't knock it till you try it. That's all I can say.
Unlube. You try it. Don't knock it till you rock it.
Don't knock it, yes. Exactamundo, Rufus. So, yeah, enough about me, because my life is boring compared to your life, where you're, like, buying houses and whatnot. I will tell you something. I was thinking about you the other night.
Uh-oh.
And, well, shortly after I came, I started thinking about other stuff. But when I was thinking about you, I was thinking, you know what? I don't know if you know this, but I've got a surefire way to reduce your risk of a heart attack by 80%.
Divorce.
No. Even better. You know what? Divorce would probably be the worst thing you could do because... I read that 80% of people who are having heart attacks are alone. So I've decided that I'm going to do as much as I can to never be alone. Then, I mean, I've cut my heart attack reduction by 80%, right?
Wow, that's crazy. But I hate being with other people. Other human beings just annoy the fuck out of me. I'd much rather be alone.
I can agree with that. I think I'd rather, maybe you're right. Maybe I'd rather take the risk of death.
Well, I think the problem is that the data is skewed. I think most people want to be with other people on some level, and so not being with other people kills them. Me, I could live in a fucking cave and never see another human being again that needs something from me or wants me to answer a question or make a choice. I would be totally fucking happy being completely alone for the rest of my life.
You know what? That's the amazing thing about us here at Hyper Sloth is that we do not mind being alone. I can totally do. Ever since I was a little kid, I could easily go hours entertaining myself. And I don't know if I've just worked it up to, like, I've perfected it. So now I don't ever want to do anything with anyone else. I'm just like, no, I'll go ahead and be alone. Because, I mean, all these people are like, we're going out to the bar, you know, what do you do on Friday nights, Saturday nights, blah, blah. I'm like, I fucking basically sit in my man cave in my basement and figure out ways to make the world a better place instead of wasting my time listening to you drunk people get louder and louder as the night goes on.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the only way I can tolerate being around other human beings is if I'm drunker than they are. That's it. I mean, either I can stay at home and be kind of drunk, or I'm out with other people and have to be very drunk.
I think they call that social anxiety. And you know what? I know that because I've self-medicated with alcohol for years. on. And you know what? You're right. It's not social anxiety. It's my way of bringing myself to a level of, with people that makes us have the same IQ, but I have to do it by blunting my brain with about 25 beers. So I'm like, okay, now I'm as stupid as these people. Now we can
exactly.
relate.
You're right. They should give that a negative connotation, like an anxiety. That's not an anxiety. That's, fuck, I got to deal with you fucking people again? All right. Give me some fucking half a bottle of whiskey. I got better shit to do with my time than hang out with you drunkards. That's not an anxiety.
Right. Listen, this is, dude, this is what I've noticed, right? And I have a group of friends that I've been obviously friends with for a long time, but more so since I moved back from Texas. And you would be amazed how many times people can tell the same fucking story. I mean, I'm talking dozens of times when people drink, will they bring out the same story. And it's almost like deja vu. I can look down the table and see the same fucking faces of people and hear the same person telling the same story. And it's like, God, do we really have to do this every fucking weekend? And then they don't understand why, like, I stopped hanging out with them a lot, because I'm just like, you know what? I'm happier being at home. And plus, I don't want to get a DWI and all that shit. And they can never understand why. And I want to be like, well, dude, it was like the 15th time you told that story about the time you and the other guy went to jail. You know what I mean? I decided then that I was wasting my time by listening to the same stories with the same people over and fucking over again. Like, I'm like, God, at least make the end of the story change or something. Make it interesting.
Make it like a Find Your Fate adventure. Let people, like, choose. And then I did this or that. And then you could be like, do this, do that.
Here's a typical story like that. I'm gonna make up the names, okay? So me and Henry, okay, me is telling a story. Me and Henry went and we got super drunk at the bar and we decided we want to smoke some weed. So we got in the car and started smoking some weed and a cop knocked on the window and took us to jail. Isn't that funny? No, that's not funny. You're fucking retarded.
You need better friends, dude.
Well, you know what? You hang out with people that drink in bars long enough, you're going to run into that story about 20 fucking times.
That's true. Just don't get caught up in it. Don't be part of the story.
Don't worry. Dude, first of all, here's one thing I never do. I never smoke pot in the car. My personal opinion is that's the stupidest thing you can fucking do. Right? I mean, you don't think you're going to get caught in a car when you're smoking pot. It's not like you're going to roll down the fucking window and the cops will be like, well, I don't smell that. You know what I mean? So these guys would get mad at me because they'd, like, we'd be driving somewhere and they would, like, light up a pipe or a joint or something. I'm like, dude, let me out of the fucking car. I'm not going down because you're so fucking stupid. You think, and one of my friends, probably the smartest guy I know out of all the people that are left here, got busted doing that twice. So what does that tell you? Twice.
Jeez.
Like 5 years apart, but twice nonetheless. One time, here's a classic. One time he's sitting at a railroad stop, right? Like there's a train going. So he's sitting there and him and this dude are smoking a joint, mistake number one, and he turns off his lights, right? Because, you know, when you're sitting at a real thing and there's like people are across from you, you feel like you're like blinding them with your lights or something. I don't know why he turned off his lights. Well, it turns out that there goes the train goes by. He puts his car in gear and pulls forward like 2 feet. Guess what the car on the other side of the tracks is? It's a fucking cop car. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So basically he pulls a foot forward without his lights on and the cop hits his fucking lights and off to jail they go.
Off to jail they go. My goodness.
Yeah.
And that's a great story.
Isn't that an awesome story? That's hilarious. $5,000 later and 2 years of probation, and he can tell the story and laugh about it.
Until it happens again.
You want to hear?
Probably will.
You want to hear a fucked up story, dude? I'm about to tell you a fucked up story. Remember See, we're not even in a bar, but I'm telling good stories because these stories have lessons at the end of them. You just have to decipher the lesson for yourself because I just won't give it out, okay? So I just want you to know that there's a lesson in there, but it's like it's a puzzle. You have to figure out the lesson yourself.
I'm smart.
So, you know, like my brother-in-law, Brian, got busted smoking weed, right? Not really busted smoking weed, but got pulled over on, I can't remember if it was Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve or sometime, and they said he was smoking weed. It was like 2 days after, it was the day after pot became legal recreationally in Oregon. Okay? And he's headed home at like 1 o'clock in the morning from his buddy's house, and the cops pull him over and tell him to blow, right? They want him to blow into a thing, assuming that it's 1:30 in the morning, he's obviously drunk or on drugs or something. So Brian blows, and it comes up like 0.04. And the cop looks at Brian and goes, "No way. There's no way you're sober." Right? And Brian's like, "Yeah, right." So Brian's like, "No, I'm sober." You know, and the guy's like, "No." And then they search his car, they find some weed. And Brian's like, "Well, yeah, I smoked weed like 8 or 9 hours ago." Okay? Sure. So the cops tell him that he's arrested for smoking weed and driving. Even after he spent 2 hours on the side of the road, dude, and passed every fucking driving test they had.
What?
Like sobriety test. Yes. 2 hours is on the side of the road. So they take him to jail, okay? And this whole time, you know, then he gets out of jail the next day, blah, blah, blah. He's like fucking shaken to his very core. And why, I don't know. I don't think county jail could have been that bad, but... So he gets out of jail, and he thinks he's been arrested for driving under the influence of pot. Okay, so like a couple weeks go by, they tell him that, you know, he needs to get a lawyer. He goes and gets a lawyer. He's trying to be proactive about everything. He goes and gets some high-dollar lawyer that charges him a $4,000 retainer fee because Brian's like, "Look, dude, they're going to send me to jail for at least 48 hours or put him on probation for a year where he can't smoke pot or drink or anything like that."
Passing all the tests.
Yeah, he passed all the tests, but they took him to jail, right? Wait, you don't even know where this story is headed, Rufus.
Oh.
So he goes to see his lawyer after a couple weeks when they get their paperwork and shit back, and they are not saying he's under the influence of pot. They're saying when he got to the jail, they could tell that he had snorted some pills.
What?
And they were accusing him of being under the influence of pills. They claim that they called in what they called their professional DEA-trained police officer to give Brian an assessment, and the guy assessed that Brian was on pills so much that his eyes were rolling up in the back of his head, okay?
What?
And, yes, and that his left nostril was inflamed and had white residue underneath it. And, dude, I know Brian. I know he had not taken a pill in his fucking life, right? And he flipped out, right? I mean, wouldn't you be mad, too? They're accusing him of being high on pills and driving around, right? And saying that they kind of have proof that he fucking did it and all this shit. And he's, like, fucking going bananas, dude. The guy is on the verge of a nervous breakdown. He's like, "I'm never fucking taking pills, you know?" And so I'm like, "Go fucking take a piss test." I said, "You need to go give yourself a fucking piss test so you got it on record that you weren't on drugs, right?" And so he goes and takes a piss test, and his lawyer tells him to do the same thing, which I'm as good as any $5,000 retainer lawyer, apparently, because I gave him better legal advice than Brian did, or than that guy did. First of all, they have to get their drug test processed, right, the cops. And it took, like, 3 months. It took 8 weeks to get done because it all kind of wrapped up last week. And he came back. He wasn't even positive for marijuana. The test didn't even have him positive for marijuana. He's like, "I don't know what the fuck happened." He's like, "I've smoked pot every day for 20 years. And he's like, "And this test comes back. This, my life, like, hinges on this test. And it comes back. It's not even just not. They're so wrong, Rufus, that they flubbed the whole fucking thing, right? I mean, first of all, they try to say he's on pills, and he admits he's on marijuana. Then they bring back the piss test, and he's, like, clear of both. That shows you the ineptness. I mean, they could be putting him in jail with that kind of ineptness.
So
you know what I mean?
So he's set for life. If he plays his cards right, he's set for life and owns the police department. You should sue the fuck out
that's
of those
guys.
That's
what I said. Wait. So I said, all right, Brian. I said, that's good news, dude. I said, now are you going to take him to court to get your $4,000 that you paid that lawyer back? And he's like, no, no, I'm just glad to put it behind me.
No.
And they told him this. He was not convicted of anything. They dropped the charges. Then they told him this. It would cost him $1,000 to have it expunged from his record. Now figure that out.
They dropped the charges, but he's got to pay to have it taken off his record. Dude,
yes.
I would be suing everybody, everybody with a flat top haircut and a badge. I would sue everyone with a flat top haircut and a badge. I tell you what, man.
That tells you the system is so fucked up, dude. Because I said, whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? He's actually having to prove his fucking innocence to them. They are proving him guilty. He's proving he's innocent and paying a shitload of cash to fucking do it.
That is fucking insane. That makes me mad. I'm angry now.
Yeah, me too. And he's like, put it behind me. I'm like, dude, I'd be, if that was me, this would be on the front page of the fucking paper. Their experts said he was on fucking pills. Oh, here's the other thing, dude. They had everything on video camera, right? And in the report, everything that was written in this report was a complete lie. The whole fucking report, Rufus, was a complete lie, beginning to end. The cops said that in the report that Brian took almost 5 minutes to find his paperwork and get his license out, right?
Yeah.
He wrote that. And they have it on video. Brian had his license out and the paperwork waiting for the cop when he got up to the side of the fucking car.
What the fuck? What
right.
County and city was this in?
Portland, Oregon. Actually, a small town outside of Portland, but a very swanky town.
Really?
You know what? This is crazy. You know how I got my mom almost... My mom is this close to voting for fucking Bernie because of super PACs. My mom hates the super PAC. When I told her that Bernie takes no money from super PACs, she goes, oh, well, that's interesting. I'm going to have to think about some stuff. And then, you know, after this, all this stuff happened with Brian, my mom looks at me and she goes, I used to think the cops were there to, like, help people. Nah, I mean, my mom's like, I feel sorry for my mom. She's 70-something years old, and she's finally coming to grips with the fact that America is not the fucking best place in the world. You know, it's sad, but those... It's not anymore. We're not a world leader. Maybe a bully of the world, but we're not like a world leader in anything.
No, not anymore.
I mean,
we're
number like 15 in education. I mean, the only thing that we're the leader in is probably military spending.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is, man. I've thought about that a lot. The only thing I can chalk it up to is that we're just young. I mean, as a nation, and we've got to go through these growing pains of fucking everything up. But you're right. I mean, right now, I think America has a lot of unjustified clout that it earned in previous times, but it's not really living up to now. You know, we're on the decline.
Right. Well, you know what? And that was so crazy because Marco Rubio or fucking Cruz or one of those guys was saying in their speech last night that if Bernie Sanders is elected president, that America will go into a decline. And I'm just thinking to myself, if anybody out there could fucking believe that, they should fucking, you know, I don't know, go live on an island with Cruz, because no way can you say that. America's been on a decline since like 1960, probably. You know what I mean? When the whole fucking like big business just took over and said, this is what we do. We own the government. We tell the government what to do.
Yeah, it's a big cabal. But just in regard to Ted Cruz, look, I hate to just a book by its cover. Honestly, I don't know what his stances are, other than I know that he's very religious. And
right,
very
dude, he sounds like a televangelist.
Which makes me immediately think that he's unqualified for the job. But just
he, dude, he,
looking
he,
at the
he's
guy,
a total
he just looks, doesn't he just look smarmy and slimy
and
nasty.
He is.
Just like that. He reminds me of that Joel Osteen guy. I just look at him and I'm like, I wouldn't even buy a fucking used car from you, man. You just
are cut from the
same
cloth.
Phony.
That is, I guarantee you, that's the only thing that Cruise has is that smarmy, fucking slick, huckster way about him that makes people trust him. Even though to hear him talk, you know that he's fucking full of shit and is just a panderer. And even a lady last night, this is so crazy. She came, you know, they do this whole show after on CNN, you know, people, local people that have voted a certain way and whatnot. And the lady said, you know what, I voted for that man, but after hearing him talk in his, like, speech at the very end, she's like, I will not vote for him again. He lost my vote. Just in his little fucking swarmy, I'm so fucking badass speech, but she said, I felt like he was pandering to people because it sounded like he was on the pulpit, and he kept quoting, like, scripture.
Yeah.
And the lady said, it just, at that point, to me, to see it in person, it felt so practiced and just a pandering statement that I just can't believe it. I don't believe anything he says now.
Those are the headlines that I've seen as well about him, mainly the scripture stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, are we, this is 2016, are we still running our country based on scripture from an ancient fucking book that has no
were we ever supposed to?
No,
I don't
we
think
weren't.
We were ever supposed to.
No, not
that
not
we had the idea behind America was religious freedom. But see, that's just
exactly.
Big Brother putting his hand in there, making, you know, putting this guy in power and making him their fucking, hey, the big church dude is nothing but a big giant fucking corporation with jets and fucking homes in Miami. You know what I mean? It's the same fucking bullshit. It's just hundreds of millions of fucking dollars. They got their own lobbyists, I'm sure. You know, they got their own people, constituents. Basically, any member of a parish is a fucking constituent to whoever their preacher is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you throw a lot of those people together, you can get some fucking some votes for some jackass. Like, well, dude, Austin is an awesome city. But all of Texas kind of sucks in general. I don't know if you ever noticed that. I know you are from Texas, but there's a lot of parts of Texas that suck.
Austin has always been described as like an oasis in a fucking desert.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And I didn't grow up in Austin, even though I feel like my formidable years, I was shaped by Austin, and then proudly so, because I love Austin when I lived there. But the rest of Texas was just not my cup of tea by any means.
No, I mean, I like the small town mentality. I mean, in terms of, like, you got to have a big picture view of the world, and small town doesn't have that anywhere. I mean, I'm in Arkansas now, and I can tell you that for sure.
Right.
That's unfortunate, and I think it's because they're just cut off from everything else. I'm friends with people on Facebook who are still in Marble Falls, Texas, where I grew up. They never went to Austin. They never lived in Austin. I guarantee if I never lived in Austin, I'd probably be way more conservative and closed-minded and stupid and religious.
Right.
And
probably so.
Even though none
of those things are
exposure.
Possible.
And so it's Austin is a spring surrounded by fucking sand. It's an interesting place, but I don't know.
No, it is. It is. It's weird. I wonder. I would like to delve farther into the origins of Austin, the right word would be some kind of, intelligence center or something like that in probably the late 50s or something that kind of shaped Austin to be a little more free thinking than most cities in America. I want to know who got together there at the university. You know, and kind of adopted that way of thinking because it seems so out of place and out of touch in Texas, especially.
That would be an interesting thing to explore. Maybe do a documentary or write a book on. And it might have something to do with the whole, you know, Willie Nelson in the 70s came to Austin and the whole armadillo outlaw music hippie movement thing.
Dude, I saw the most interesting thing on KUT, right? The KUT has been in Austin since like 1960. There was a whole show on KUT. And KUT actually played a pretty important role in kind of shaping, you know, how Austin is. Because if you think about it, in the early 60s and stuff, and all there was AM radio.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's in very few channels at that. So whoever was probably the music director at there at the time might have had something to do with, you know, what was going on across the city there. I don't know. Like I said, I'm high. So if any of this doesn't make sense, it's because I'm not high enough right now.
No, it makes sense.
But I had, you know what, dude? I had a Twitter exchange with a fella.
Really? A Twitter exchange? With a fella?
Yes, a Twitter exchange. Because I'm a member of, I follow Bernie Sanders on Twitter. And I know I'm Bernie heavy, dude. And I'm telling you, I'm going to be Bernie heavy until 2017 because we need Bernie in this country, dude. And I think people are finally waking up and realizing it. But we need him more than anybody for 420 Products USA because if he legalizes pot, dude, this is kind of how I figured out. If he legalizes pot, okay, and then makes education free, think how many stoners that's fucking opening up. How many more people are going to smoke pot? Because first of all, they're going to college where you have nothing but time on your hands to smoke pot basically all day, right?
Yes.
And if he makes that free, there's more money for pot. I mean, it just is kind of a win-win all the way around for the pot industry.
Dude, we've got to make a special product, the Burn Buddy, the Bernie Buddy or something like that.
You're right. Dude, I want to make a T-shirt with Bernie, but it's gonna be spelled B-U-R-N-I-E, like Bernie Sanders, but burn, like burn some weed. But he will be like some kind of character that's a marijuana nugget that wears glasses and has white fluffy hair and maybe a cheap suit. Here's the other day, dude, it was so funny. I was with my mom, and we're watching Bernie Sanders on TV, and he comes out in the world's most ill-fitting suit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an ill-fitting suit. And she's like, well, look at his suit. I said, well, Mom, that's because he doesn't take any money from super PACs. And she's like, point taken. I'm like, yeah, he's not sitting back getting fucking tailor-made suit because he's fucking worried about America. He's not worried about his fucking suit.
Dude, that's so funny. Whenever I wrote a screenplay with a buddy of mine back in 2009, I told you about little people, the main character was a normal-sized guy, and we were, like, trying to give this character some identity, and I said, he's very successful, but you know that he doesn't give a shit about that because he wears an ill-fitting suit. His suit doesn't fit. He wears a suit because he has to, not because he wants to give a shit. He wears an ill-fitting suit. That's why you know he gives a shit about, you know, his job.
He's in it for the right reasons, not the wrong fucking reasons. Very well done, Rufus, by the way. Your foreshadowing is, maybe we need to take a second look at that book, and there might be some more things in there that you soothsayed. Is that correct?
I soothsayed.
So it happened. My wife broke her tooth.
She broke her tooth?
Scared me now. Now I'm scared.
Wait, how'd she break her tooth?
She was eating a blow pop.
Uh-oh.
So it's kind of her own fault. But it made me think that, oh, man. I mean, and she has nice teeth. My wife takes really good care of her teeth, and it broke. And I'm like, man, I have this tooth in the back that must be a fucking hot potato then, ready to burst at any minute. But she can't see it, so I'm fine.
What's her tooth, the front-facing tooth? I mean, she's going to smile and be like, oh, you...
It was in the very back. The problem was that her dentist, the last time she went, said, you need to get a crown put on this tooth. So she just continued to put it off like any red-blooded American would do until it broke, and now she doesn't have a choice, and it's 3 times more expensive than it would have been if she just had it when it should have been done. But the good news, Rufus, about that is somehow it's my fault. At least I got that going for me.
I mean, of course it's your fault, but how is it your fault? Like, what's the logic that makes that happen.
Does there have to be logic, dude? No, I'm sure it stems back to some time when I couldn't pick up my daughter from dance or something. Who the fuck knows? I'm sure somehow it seems like it could be, but it's really not.
Dude, speaking of teeth, I've got on this side, I've got a wisdom tooth that's growing, like, sideways, like, out of my face. Like, if I let it keep going, this is going to push through my fucking skin, and I'll have a tooth out here. It's going
cool.
Sideways. And over the years, like, pieces of food and hot dog and hamburgers get stuck behind that. And now it's at the point where I think it's eroded away, and there's just a nerve kind of dangling, twitching there, because anything that happens on this side of my face hurts like a motherfucker, and I know I'm going to have to go to the dentist.
Keep things off of that
of
side
skull.
Of your face?
Have you ever had a tooth pulled? I never have. I'm terrified. But I might have to.
No, I never have. But you know what? My brother had one pulled today, as a matter of
fact.
Yes. That's good. Another thing that's got me thinking about my teeth. What are the odds? Pretty good, really, I guess. My brother's having teeth pulled all the time.
What do you say about it? I mean, really, this is going to be a bad situation for me. I can foresee it. I can say this is going to be a bad situation. I need some input.
I know. How sad is it, Rufus, that some days I'm like, geez, I hope that my tooth problems outlive me. Just hoping that I die in like the next 3 to 4 years so I don't have to worry about going to the dentist with my tooth problem.
You know what? Every time I get a little zing from this tooth, which is pretty much every time I inhale or eat anything, I just get, all I can think about is that scene from Castaway where Tom Hanks has a bad tooth on that island and he's got to like knock it out with a ski boot. Like a ski off a ski boot. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to do that.
Well, so you know what? That's funny. We have two different ways of thinking about that because when I saw him do it, I'm like, I can do that? That's what I'll do. When it hurts bad enough, I'll just knock it out with a fucking ski boot and a wrench or something.
Oh, man. I think here's what I try to tell myself. I want the pain from this tooth to get so bad that the pain of removing it is inconsequential.
Right now,
when I think about removing it, I'm like, oh my God, they're going to yank it out and it's going to hurt. I want it to get so bad that, like, I would just remove it myself, like my grandpa used to do with pliers. Just take it out.
And the good news for you, Rufus, is that it is going to get to that point. That's what you have to look forward to.
That's very nice.
Because. Well, I only know that because I'm kind of in the same situation. I have, like, what I would call a broken tooth that easily could have a nerve hanging out of it. I don't even like to, like, try to even look at it because I'm like, man, that is fucking scary right there. And what happened to my brother was his fucking face, like, puffed up. Right? I mean, he got, like, sick because a rotten tooth can basically kill you. Supposedly.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just hoping that's get all the warning signs first.
I guess. I don't know. Depends on the dentist, I guess.
I know. You know what? Here, this is what really sucks, dude, is my wife was telling me that dentistry has come a long way. But the only thing I really remember about the dentist ever is that fucking pokey thing that they stick into the fucking middle of your tooth to see if it's soft or not, like some kind of, I think the Nazis fucking invented that thing, dude, because that is cruel. I mean, there is no reason that you have to do that unless you're a fucking sadist motherfucker. And apparently my first two were sadists because that's why I will not go back to this, especially knowing that I have, like, this hurt tooth. I'm going to call it hurt. I refuse to call it rotten. But I have a wounded tooth. And all I can imagine him doing is taking that fucking pokey stick and going right into the fucking thing to the nerve. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I will not subject myself to that.
You're right. Even when that pokey thing doesn't necessarily hurt, you can feel it. It's like they're gripping something, trying to pull something out of your fucking mouth, and you're like,
"Yeah, Yes.
It's like you're a fish on the hook.
And my idea, too, Rufus, is like my tooth probably was fine till you fucking started poking at it with the fucking pokey thing to put small holes in it. You know, I'm sure that it's some kind of device for making so you grow cavities.
It's a
money
about game.
Plant a cavity in someone's mouth as a dentist. Not that it's even necessary.
I've the most dental work I've ever had done was fillings. I've had fillings, you know. That's stressful enough, dude. Just that whole fucking drilling shit and shots. That's bad enough, and that's minor. I've been with my wife when she had a tooth pulled. And, dude, it was like watching Dr. Mengele in a fucking World War II Nazi prison camp torture somebody. You could hear the shit twisting and breaking and cracking. And I'm like, man, never, never. But now I think that's what I have happening here. And I was like, oh, terrifying.
Oh, jeez. You believe it or not, you just made my stomach turn with the cracking and twisting. Dr. Mengele. I love the Mengele. Not often can you work in a Dr. Mengele metaphor into a conversation.
Not often enough.
Oh, no, I lost your video, Rufus.
Yeah, I see I lost it, too. Hang on. Oh, no, I'm back. I'm back. I don't see you, though.
There I go.
There you are.
I'm bubbling. So, no, anyways, I'm checking, I'm watching the Bernie Sanders Twitter last night, and some guy puts on there, right, and he might be listening to the show because we went back and forth for a little while. Some guy put on there that poverty, the people that consider themselves in poverty in this country are rich, would be rich in other countries, right?
Okay.
Like, you know, we shouldn't help people because, you know, they're considered rich in other countries. And I'm like, well, that, you know,
right.
Unless a price of a pound of beans in the United States was 10 cents like it is in third world countries, it doesn't really matter, right?
Well, it's perspective and ratios. It doesn't
right.
translate.
And, of course, he puts on there, you know, well, you know, it's all because of there's no fathers and lack of education. And, of course, he's bashing me because I'm rooting for Bernie or whatever. So, and then I put... Well, Bernie should be like your dream then because, first of all, he wants to fully fund Planned Parenthood, which will reduce the number of single fathers, and he wants free
right.
education for everyone. So how, you know, of course he didn't have anything to say to that, you know.
Of course not.
I can't remember. He said something that made no sense. And then I said, well, it just goes to show you how far out of touch you are with poverty. He said, well, I'm very in touch with what's going on in America because – I travel America, right? I've traveled America by car and spent a lot of time in cafes talking to business owners. And I was like, well, I'm pretty sure the impoverished people are not hanging out in cafes and are not small business owners.
No shit. That's insane.
Right. I mean, that's
what?
His idea is. You know what he was so mad about, dude, was fucking Obama phones. This guy was having a heart attack on a fucking Obama phone.
Oh, that is so fucking old. That happened, like, 2011?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
But the whole idea that he thought he was legit because he's going around to cafes, and because I put something like, well, I think that the impoverished America isn't the one you see from the highway. You know. And that's when he's like, no, he went into cafes and talked to small business owners.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
well,
small
business
yeah.
owners in cafes know what it's like to be poor. I mean,
exactly.
They might know what it's like to be unsuccessful businessmen, and they probably have opinions on that. But
right. You know what? That's so funny because that's exactly what I thought of, Rufus. It's exactly what you said right there was that, you know what, you
wow.
should have been asking them because they probably are poor. Because they tried to open a fucking business in the United States that was shut down by overregulation because the lobbyists put all this shit in place to keep the normal guy from ever being successful.
Exactly.
Or something to that effect. But you know what? I couldn't put that because it was over like 57 letters or whatever you get with Twitter. I've had it with Twitter, dude. I can't do Twitter because I guess I'm not succinct enough for Twitter.
I personally can't do Twitter. I don't. I've got no fucking desire for that bullshit. I do it for Hypersloth. Like, whenever I post something on the Sloth website, I post it to Twitter, and it gets some reactions, and the UFO website. But personally, I don't get it, dude. I really don't fucking get it.
You know what? And you're right about Twitter. You know why, dude? Here's the problem with Twitter, too, and I don't know why Twitter people can't figure this out. You only see one half of a fucking story. Right? Like, if I post something, you'll only see, like, my half of it. You won't see the other guy's half.
Right.
So, you know, you're like, what the fuck are these people talking about? It's like, hey, Joe, you got a stick up your ass. And I'm just like, well, why, I mean, why would someone say that? And you can't find,
right.
like, the other half of the conversation anywhere.
It's fucking terrible. I don't know how Twitter is. I'll be honest, when Twitter first came out, which was like 2000. I think they premiered at South by Southwest in Austin.
Yeah, you're right, it did.
I discovered them in 2007, and my opinion of Twitter has not changed since 2007. My opinion is, what the fuck is stupid shit? What? Really?
Yeah.
That's my opinion of Twitter. I don't fucking, it makes no fucking sense at all.
It doesn't. It doesn't. I'm going to read you like the top five tweets on my phone right now. Here you go. This is from Bernie Sanders. The bottom line is, do we cut Social Security benefits or do we ask the wealthiest corporations and Americans to pay their fair share? Okay, that makes sense because they know what they're doing. But here's one from Guy Adami. This is a guy that is on CNBC. It just says, between the second and third here at Prue Center. That's it. So no nothing to follow that up. You know, I'm just like, what is he fucking talking about?
I mean, I guess if you're following somebody big like Bernie Sanders, or I follow some big people that I pay no attention to because I'm never on Twitter, if they're sending out little bits and bytes that make sense, cool. But in terms of, like, human interactions, like, I've posted shit on Twitter and nobody's given a shit, and I get things on my Twitter feed and I don't give a
fuck. Oh, my God.
And it's...
Dude, that guy tweeted me back. Right, and I had not read these. These are from yesterday. His name is Casey Swanson at Sage Arthur. He wrote a book about, like, Knights of the Future or something very strange. It's like a very Hobbity-looking book. But he put, this is what my, see, and I can't read, okay, my response was here, pretty sure impoverished are not frequenting cafes or running small businesses. And his answer to me was, no, they are looking for work. And they meet in the coffee shops. You can see them every day in small-town America. This is the same guy that right before that was saying that they weren't looking for work and everyone has a Obama phone.
Well, they got money for coffee. I mean, stop drinking
right.
coffee and go out and get a fucking job.
They can't. They're too busy on the phone. Their Obama phone.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm trying to see what he said about Planned Parenthood here. Here's another thing he said. When I was young, living on tuna and peanut butter in a cheap apartment with an entry-level job, I was not in poverty. And I put, well, no, you weren't. You had a job. What a fucking this guy's in it.
Right, but even with a job, he was in poverty.
And well, he had to eat peanut butter and tuna. But he had
okay.
a place to live.
That's pretty shitty.
Oh, here, he kept going. With food stamps, rental assistance, Medicare, and other programs, few impoverished in this country. You know, here's a guy that thinks that people love fucking being poor. And sure, there is people that love it. But right now, in the last 40 years in America, a lot of people haven't had a chance to get ahead. You know what I mean? You get into that cycle, dude. They've proven, Rufus, that when you grow up, like, in poverty, your brain is 6% smaller than a fucking normal brain because you're malnourished and you're stressed out all the time. You know what I mean? It takes a toll on your physical self. And then people are procreating, for lack of a better term. You know, two people with smaller brains procreating is going to create another person with a smaller brain. I mean, it's just kind of how it goes.
Dude, I'm reading a book right now called The Dragons of Eden by Carl Sagan. From the 70s, And it's all about evolution and how humans evolved and how the brain evolved and consciousness evolved. And I sort of got in the first chapter, I just read exactly what you said. And it wasn't a political, this is a scientific book, it's not political. It's talking about the ratio of brain mass to body mass and how you can infer intelligence from that. That's why we're the most intelligent people. Our brain mass to body mass is a perfect ratio. And he said that there have been studies that proven that in countries that are super, super poor, the children grow up with a ratio of brain to body mass that is insufficient, and they become less smart, and that the poverty creates more poverty because the governments and the society doesn't encourage them, doesn't give them the means to survive. That's insane.
Right. It is insane. And, you know, this guy here is saying that Planned Parenthood, here's the problem with Planned Parenthood. Unfortunately, Planned Parenthood takes needed money from real women's health clinics and gives to clinics for the poor.
Look, anybody who has a problem with Planned Parenthood,
right,
they mention it. They might not mention it. The only reason you have a problem with Planned Parenthood is because you're a pro-lifer. That's it.
Right. That's exactly right.
There's no other reason to have a problem with Planned Parenthood. They tell people, they teach people, they provide people ways to, you know, not create children that aren't going to be raised. The only people
right.
who have a problem with Planned Parenthood are religious fucking nutbags.
Right. You're definitely right. So here, this guy, then he tweeted himself four times last night because I never get a notification when it comes up. It says, at ZigZag8960, do you realize that most of the poverty in this country is in rural and small-town America and not in the big cities? Yes, I fucking realize that, dude. I already told you that. You know, and so I just text him back. I'm like, what do you mean? The impoverished in this country are rich, is what you said. And then I asked him if he was flip-flopping. Because it sounds like he's flip-flopping to me, does it not, you? Burn you, dickwad. Burn them, Rufus. Burn them. Too bad
you know
people
have
will
say,
have that.
I have to say two things. We're well into the VIP area, and I've got to take a leak, so I'm about to bail.
I see you dancing.
Man, I can't wait until this election bullshit's over so we can go back to just having a fun show. Because
yeah, sorry
like
about that.
It's just been a heartburn stress fest. Now, that being said, I think we could almost spin off this show into a political fucking commentary show because we get down to nuts and bolts and we do some pretty good stuff with that.
Yes, I agree. I agree that I have been overly focused because you know what? The only reason I think so, Rufus, though, is because for the first time in America since I've been alive, really, I feel like there's hope. Like there is a way for the whole country to be better and to be on a fucking positive path. Instead of this fucking awful thing that it's turned into.
You know what's sad, and maybe this is what's stressful for me, is I think there is a hope that's clear to you and me, but I think we're in the minority, and we're going to watch it just fucking sail by. I hate to say it. I don't have faith.
That's what worries me the most. And you know what? All I could think about was that exact thing last night. Was like, there is other smart people out there, but I don't know. It's like you just feel like you can't do anything.
Dude, when Hillary Clinton wins because of unimaginable odds on a coin toss,
yeah,
something is up
that tells
that is
you.
Fucking wrong, and that
it's
makes
still
me
red.
Angry and depressed. And
yeah. It's still rigged.
Oh, man.
Still rigged. As much as we wanted to believe for that brief fucking moment that it's not, in the long run, it's still fucking fixed. The whole fucking shit hole.
Yeah.
All right, Rufus, I promise that Thursday night show, we will talk only music, marijuana, beer, and pussy. How's that? We're going to call Thursday night the man show. What do you think?
I think that sounds great. Let's try to do a song analysis. Let's pick out a song tomorrow.
All right.
Do a song analysis.
All right. How about, I don't know, you decide. You decide.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'll try. Yeah.
No obscure country, though. Let's try to stick in the psychedelic genre.
Dude, you would have loved the Sammy Hagar.
I knew you were bringing that up.
Man, it was so fucking awesome. And I never knew that Sammy Hagar had any connection to those guys. And he just, wow, it was really interesting because he interviewed two guys. And the second guy, I don't remember the names, you'd know him.
Mickey Hart?
Yeah, Mickey Hart. Yeah, connection with. They'd done an album together. You could tell they were just old-time buddies. And he even told him, he's like, I didn't get the Dead thing until I saw a concert. And he's like, oh, now I get it. But then before that, he had an interview with, what's the other guy? The guitar
Bob
player
Weir.
Guy, the singer guy. Yeah.
Bob Weir.
And you could tell that Sammy was a little on guard and had this sort of reverence or respect for him. And it was just really super interesting. And they jammed and they talked and they drank.
I would love to see that.
It was fucking cool. It was hot. I don't know if it's online, but if I can find the link,
I'm going to look. I hope
I'll send it to you. It was really cool,
because,
man.
You know what? Mickey Hart is like the second coolest person in the Grateful Dead behind Jerry Garcia.
Really?
The other guys are kind of tight asses, but Mickey's pretty fucking down to earth. Just a good old soul, I think.
Dude, Mickey Hart in this interview was so fucking cool. It wasn't an interview. They didn't sit down. They were in his studio.
Right.
And he had horns off of like a semi-truck that he was like playing, and he had all this electronic shit and keyboards and gongs and stuff. And they just jammed. They like put Sammy Hagar out somewhere, and Sammy's like, you do your thing and I'll jam it. And they just totally made shit up. It was really fucking cool. It was super awesome.
Dude, that is fucking awesome. You know what we need to do too, Rufus? We need to write more stuff on the show. Oh, and an interesting thing. You know, remember I told you that my guitar seemed like it had a couple dead spots on it?
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it did, because the humidity got so low here because it's been so cold that it like was drying out my fucking guitars. I had to buy a humidifier. And get it to pump the guitars back up. They're not 100% yet, but they're definitely sounding better. I mean, I saw this online that apparently humidity can just fucking kill your guitars.
That's insane, dude. I never knew that.
Yes. Yeah, me neither. But it is. They actually sell stuff to put in your guitar cases to keep the humidity right, believe it or not.
Well, I might check that out, because my acoustic guitar has been sounding kind of wonky whenever I get up the neck. Like, I use a capo a lot. When I get higher up, I'm like, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, you should check that out, dude. I'm telling you, mine was dead between the third and the, like, 15th fret. On the high E, I would get a buzz. And then I did this, and now it's only wonky between, like, the 9th and the 12th fret. Like, I get that buzz. But it's definitely getting better. So just something to think about, you know, by the way.
I'll think about it.
So Thursday night show, man show. I think we should trademark that, the man show.
Well, I think the man show was a show.
Yes, I know it was. I know it
Dude,
was.
Dude, it's really odd.
The man radio show.
No, I woke up this morning thinking about the man show. It's strange that you mentioned that.
Because they had tits on there?
On
or because you thought of that guy throwing back those beers?
I just remember the Babes on Trampolines on the man show.
Yeah, there you go. Now, you know what? Do you remember that part of the show where that guy would just fill up a fucking a Gatti's glass mug of beer and just, like, throw it down his throat, like 10 or 12 of them during the show?
What? No, I don't remember that.
You don't
time.
Remember that? I'll have to send you a link to that.
Yeah, do that.
Because that was my favorite part of the man show. It was like, God damn, that guy can drink a beer fast.
Impressive.
It was. I started doing it out of cans like that. It was unbelievable. Fast beer drink man show.
My bladder is starting to make my ribs crack.
All right, I'm going to send you this. His name was Bill the Fox Foster, just so you know. All right, I will talk to you a Thursday show. I look forward to it. Pick out a nice song now, though. Don't forget. Okay.
I will.
Good to see you on tonight's show. Thanks for listening, folks. We had a good time.
Thanks for listening to Hypersloth Happy Hour with Zigzag and Rufus.